You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome aboard. Something seems to be missing today. Oh, yeah, that's right. Azaleas, magnolias, and a tournament that seemingly nobody wanted to win until the end, except for one guy. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. It is the Gym Class. Welcome aboard. It is a Monday edition right here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, across the way from me. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass as he's making sure everything sounds A-OK here today as we got a good show coming up for you. We will take a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports, highlighted by the 89th Masters and history made yesterday. Rory McIlroy becoming the sixth, not only winning his first green jacket, but becoming the sixth golfer in history to win the career Grand Slam. So we will talk about that. Also wanted to focus in a little bit about something that popped up after we left the air on Friday. And that was the situation down in Knoxville, Tennessee, with the Tennessee Volunteer football team, with their quarterback, now former quarterback. And we'll talk about that with you out there, get your thoughts about it. Perhaps the ramifications from that and more. So a lot to cover here on a Monday edition of the program. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. You'd like to pick up the phone and call us, 319-366-1600. Here on a windy but warm and sunny Monday here in eastern Iowa. Good afternoon, Mark. I know you had a good weekend because the Masters was on.
I did. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And I admit to having a bit of withdrawals today.
I am.
Yeah.
A lot of golf to watch over the weekend. Good, because it counteracted the horrible golf I played on Saturday. Isaac, how are you? Did you partake yesterday in the back nine, at least at Augusta?
Yeah, I watched all of it. Also, it's not the back nine.
It's the second nine.
I can't believe I'm the one that has to correct you on that one. I did watch it. I watched the full day as far as Sunday goes. I don't know. I watched about half of it on Saturday.
Good. Did you like it?
Yeah.
As a non-golfer,
I have nothing against golf. It just never really appealed to me. I'll watch the big ones, and that's how I'm gonna keep on going probably. But it was a lot of fun. I did enjoy it.
It was an amazing day yesterday, Mark. I'm not gonna go out and say it was the greatest day in Masters history, which some are saying. It was a very odd day because it was filled with ups and downs, and it seemed as though, other than Justin Rose, who we all basically gave up on Saturday after his 75 in the third round, and seemingly putting him out of contention. He was an afterthought going in, but it was Rory McIlroy versus Bryson DeChambeau. Boy, oh boy, CBS knew that, and we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But then Rory gave it away. Bryson took the lead. Bryson gave it away a little bit. Then all of a sudden you had others peeking in. Ludvig Åberg, most notably. He jumped into the top spot for a moment before he gave it up. The only one that seemingly wanted to win that thing was Justin Rose, who secured a tie when he made a terrific putt on the 18th hole, the 72nd hole of the tournament, to get within one. And then Rory McIlroy inexplicably, not once but twice, with a gap wedge. Missed his target by 15 yards and made bogey on 13 and made bogey again. Already made double on 13 and then made bogey from 105 yards on the 18th hole. It was a weird and wacky Sunday at Augusta National.
It wasn't Rory against anybody. It was Rory against Rory. And I think that's supported by the raw emotion that he showed in winning in the playoff. Rarely have I seen emotion from an athlete, a player like that in a moment. I know there has been. But that was just pure raw emotion pouring out, not only about what had happened on Sunday, but it would happen during the whole tournament and what had happened in recent tries. He'd been to the Masters time after time after time, answering questions. Is this the year you're going to win the Grand Slam? On and on and on. And it was Rory's demons that he had to beat more than anyone else, in my mind. And he ended up doing that. And it wasn't easy, as he said. I mean, he gave up the lead after two holes. The shots you described on 13, inexplicable. Then he comes back on 15 and makes an incredible shot to have an eagle putt, which
you don't
missed,
know how hard that shot was.
and that kind of pressure over the water, yeah. He executed it, and he executed in the playoff. But, you know, it started out, build up was the big duel with Bryson, the rematch, so to speak, and never materialized, basically because of DeChambeau. He kind of faded away, but recency bias, it wasn't the greatest Masters in history. If you want to top Jack in 86, feel free. In my mind. But it was good.
It was good for a different way, and it just shows it wasn't the Sunday that was filled with roar after roar after roar. I mean, we had one of those about, 10, 12 years ago. It was just, okay, you go 2 minutes and there's another tremendous roar. Didn't have that yesterday. It was more, there were roars out there to be had. But it was more of a groans out there. And I agree with you. It was 11 years of Rory McIlroy fighting demons, not only at Augusta National, but Rory's had so much on his plate and so much on his shoulders over the last 5 years. And you can throw Liv in there because Rory was... And to his credit, he kind of brought this on himself as the face of the PGA Tour. And he has been the guy that has been out there and has been the voice for the PGA Tour and not going to live, trying to help out the tour. He's been on the advisory committee, which takes a ton out of you from... All we understand, read, have heard, it takes a ton out of the golfers that are on the advisory committee. Not only that, but as you mentioned, 11 tries to try to get the career Grand Slam, 11 times he has tried to get the green jacket, has come agonizingly close, exercising the demons from 2011 when he, as good as the shot was on 15, I can't explain because if you're a golfer... Swinging a hook like that, 50 yards, it was amazing. I still can't.
On purpose.
Yeah, we do it sometimes, but it's not on purpose. in 2011, going to the 10th tee with a lead, going to the second nine, and hitting it into a cabin. I mean, that's about as bad as a pro gets. And exercising those demons. And you can put that down. I mean, there have been some great celebrations on the 72nd hole over the years. And that was the 73rd hole, obviously. But I mean, Ben Crenshaw, the second time he won. Phil Mickelson, the first time he won. Those are probably the two. This one, I think, is right up there. At least certainly in the top five of celebrations. And this wasn't planned. This wasn't anything, okay, sitting up the night before saying, what am I going to do when I win this thing? I mean, that thing was just, like you said, 11 years of just, man, it's over. I finally got this thing.
Maybe he never thought he'd get it accomplished, but he did. And, you know, he's had his issues and obstacles to overcome, as you outline, plus some issues in his personal life.
True.
And, you know, I guess any mistakes you make in life and in golf or whatever, if you don't correct them, you're not going to get any better. And overcoming those obstacles, I don't want to make this sound bigger than life, because it isn't, but it's an example of overcoming, whether it's your swing, your personal life, your issues outside the golf course, a missed putt to win a big championship, whatever it may be. If you can learn from those things, it makes the celebration even sweeter, and that's what it was.
Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600. And we are going to talk about Zach. 27-57. And yes, how about Zach Johnson and his tie for eighth? Says 47-10. And long time coming for Zach Johnson, but he recaptured some magic on Saturday. Went out early. He was in the featured group on Masters.com, so everybody got to see it. And that looked like the Zach Johnson of 10 to 15 years ago at age 49 out there, recapturing a little bit of his once great glory, and got a top 10 in the Masters. His first one, you looked it up, Mark, in 4 years, I believe.
His first top 10 in any event.
Any event.
Since March of 2021. The last few years have not been good for Zach Johnson, but it was fun to see. He made the cut on the number. And then went out and matched Rory McIlroy for the low round in the third round with a 66 and moved him up to tie for 10th. And I figured, man, if he shoots even par today, given everything, you know, he's had trouble putting four rounds together. Something betrays him along the way, whether it's putting or driving or whatever. But he managed a 100 par 71, tied for 8th. Second best finish ever in the Masters next to his victory, and made a lot of money, moved up big time in the FedEx Cup points race. I didn't check the world rankings. He was pretty far down going into it, but I'm sure he moved up. And I mean, he hadn't broken 70 at the Masters since 2015, 10 years. So put all that together. And at age 49, he's going to be eligible for the Champions Tour next year, whether he takes advantage of that or, you know, does a Stewart Sink or something like that and plays a couple more years on the PGA Tour. Remains to be seen, but it was a big, big day for Zach Johnson, and it was good to see.
Yeah, it was. And Zach is in a tough spot right now. Very tough spot. Many different levels to this. Because, number one, and people are not going to forget the fact that he was a Ryder Cup captain that lost. And I hate to throw that out there because, listen, Europe wants to win just as much as the American side wants to win. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. Zach made a couple of decisions that didn't sit well with people. And he's heard it a couple times on the golf course over the last couple of years. You know that. You've read that as well. There's been video out there. But he's also 49 years old.
He's in the sunset of his PGA Tour career.
Correct. And looking forward to a brand new morning and a new dawn next year. Because if he chooses, and I'm not sure about Zach's plans, but when he turns 50, he's eligible for the Champions Tour. And Zach's going to win a ton and a ton of money on the Champions Tour. I guarantee you that.
We pretty much secured his card this year because he's 68th right now in the FedEx Cup points. And, you know, who knows? He might go off on a bit of a roll and finish very well, stay in the top 70, get in the postseason tournaments. You don't know. But for one day anyway, he did recapture that glory to a certain extent. Didn't win, but it was a victory for him.
Yeah, and he was on the leaderboard on CBS for the first nine.
He got up to T5, I think, something like that.
Good to see him on getting a little network coverage again. It's been a while since Zach. I think the last time Zach was really followed was 2023 at Greensboro. I mean, that's been a long time ago. But
I don't remember that one, but I believe it.
1900 says, Rory winning reminded me when Earnhardt finally won the Daytona 500. And I thought of that, too, yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought of that, too, yesterday. That, I thought of, what else can you compare this to? Tony Kanaan winning the Indianapolis 500 after so many tries. That was something that I compared it to as well. And it was just, everybody felt good for Rory. It was and I tell you what, CBS, I'll give them this. They closed very well. It started off shaky and I thought even bad for CBS. But Jim Nance is a master. He always has the one-liner after the winner sinks the final putt. Came up with a good one yesterday. If you have not seen it, take a look at it. Mike Tirico, by the way, on the radio coverage also was terrific. Had a very good finish to that one. But and so many commentators and broadcasters now don't let the moment flow. And that was something, the first thing you're taught when you go into broadcasting, especially play-by-play. If there's a moment, let the moment play out. Jim Nance basically said nothing for 7 minutes. Nobody did. They just let the whole emotions of Rory McIlroy going through with his family, with his entourage, Shane Lowry, who probably is, well, it is his best friend on the tour. And by God, I don't think there's probably any Irish beer left in Augusta, Georgia after last night. My guess. But they just let it play out. And I thought that was terrific.
I agree. He let the moment breathe, and that was a moment that needed to breathe. And no words were needed because following Rory said everything.
Yeah, and it was just fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun to watch, and just everything going off. You can almost see him as he was striding toward the clubhouse that the poundage was falling off of his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that little kind of that gait of he kind of hops when things are going well. And he got that back, which was nice to see. Cyclone Tim says Matthew Stafford winning the Super Bowl. That's another one once he got out of Detroit. 0909 asking, what were the odds of Zach in the top 10? I have no idea. I have no idea. Pretty long, I would imagine. I will say this about...
He's 100,000 to one to win.
He was 100,000 to win. I will say this. If you put wagers on the Masters, great. Wonderful. But I made the mistake of reading the comments after they posted the pin positions yesterday and the 16th, which when they had the traditional Sunday pin placement on 16, the par 3 over water... on Saturday, you knew it wasn't going to be there on Sunday. And I had a feeling, and it was rumored all through the week, that on the occasion of Jack Nicklaus's 50th anniversary of Bear Tracks, when he won in 1975, it was going to be back right. And you ought to have read the nasty comments of bettors who had put money down on a hole-in-one for that day. Oh, they were livid.
Mm-hmm. So much for tradition, huh?
It wasn't traditional that day. In 1975, it was back right when Jack made that long putt.
Mm-hmm.
They can change it sometimes, and it's good that they do every once in a while. There were enough gettable pins on other ones. 319-366-1600 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. With that being said, though, I'll say this. The CBS broadcast started off bad because it was all about Rory and Bryson, and I get it because it's, yeah, I'd say two of the top three names in golf. Sorry, Tiger folks out there. Tiger's going to be going there next year at age 50 and trying to beat these guys. Think, and coming off an Achilles, a ruptured Achilles. It was the Bryson versus Rory show, and it never really materialized, Mark, after a handful of holes. Bryson just never got it going and then got a little whiny afterwards.
Naturally, Justin Rose didn't get the credit he deserved. I mean, a 66 in the final round, 10 birdies in the final round. Made a heck of a surge playing with Zach Johnson to tie Rory in regulation. And then his comments afterwards were just so gracious, so great, I thought.
Yeah.
And not enough people are talking about that, I don't think. For good reason.
Rosie said he wanted to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
But just, you know, Justin Rose has lost twice now in playoffs at the Masters. He has his one major championship, the 2013 U.S. Open at Marion. But he could have a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
And could be thought of as one of the greats. He's already thought of as a very, very good player. But he could be thought of as one of the greats right now.
It was a great tournament and great finish, great drama. Now it's on to the PGA, right?
Next month.
PGA is up next, yeah.
Oh, by the way, at Quail Hollow, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. where Rory McIlroy has won four times.
Yeah.
Could we be seeing the start of a Grand Slam this year?
I know, it's
not going to happen. Hey, what was it, 2000 when Tiger mm-hmm. had the Tiger Slam? I mean, that's as close as we're going to get. With golf as good as it is right now, that's as close as we're going to get. Cajun Troy, good to hear from you, as always. Talking about Mike Tirico, he didn't say a word with the Gleason-blocked punt in the first game back in the Superdome. And still watch that video. It was awesome. Very much so. Very, very much so. 319-366-1600. She also may have shed a happy tear or two when Rory was being interviewed and on the coverage afterwards. And yeah, that was some good stuff afterwards in the Butler cabin. And then Rory's the official green jacket ceremony, which takes place on the golf course. It's not the one in Butler cabin. That is for the television audience. The official one takes place outside the clubhouse in Augusta mm-hmm. National. So that's and Rory was good in the news conference too.
He was
just really good. Not sure what I assume Rory is in the field this week. It's a signature event at the Heritage. So I would assume at Hilton Head he's going to go over there. Not sure how well he's going to play, but he's playing really good golf right now. Three wins so far this year. All right, 3:28. We'll take a break. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here. And when we come back, another big story that took place over the weekend in college football. College athletics. Did we see the first stand? Anti-player stand. And was it good? Do you agree with it? We'll talk about that when we come back after Mark gives us an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're a classic local American restaurant. They are across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday.
Iowa basketball coach Ben McCollum picked up a transfer today and 6'4" guard Brendan Housen. Housen averaged 11 points per game last season at Kansas State. and made 93-point goals. He began his career at Villanova. Iowa dropped a 6-4 decision to Nebraska Sunday in Big Ten baseball, but the Hawkeyes won the series 2-1. Iowa is 14-4 in the Big Ten and has four league series remaining, including this weekend at Michigan. In Major League Baseball news, the National League Central Division leading Cubs received a jolt with news starting pitcher Justin Steele will undergo left elbow surgery and miss the remainder of the season. In addition, Yankee star Aaron Judge has committed to play in the 2026 World Baseball Classic and will serve as USA captain. UConn's Paige Beckers, the presumptive number one overall pick in tonight's WNBA draft, has signed a lucrative 3-year deal to play in the unrivaled 3-on-3 league. And finally, John Jersey Germeyer died Saturday at the age of 92. Germeyer was a multi-sport athlete and former coach at Coe College. He also was on Frank Lauterbur's staff at Iowa and held athletic administration jobs at Kansas State and Northern Iowa.
Legend, not only in Iowa City, but more in Cedar Falls for what he did at the University of Northern Iowa. Mark Farley, I know, put out a very good tribute to Jersey over the weekend. Certainly is going to be missed. And Iowa baseball, I had a chance to go Friday night, first time in a long, long time. Enjoyed myself. Nice, brisk 1-0 game. Kate Obermuller was great. And it was good to see the stands packed. They had
big crowds.
And being at 90% of the men's basketball games this year, yeah, there were more people there than there were at a couple of the men's basketball games. Don't think that's going to be the case this coming year, but just to throw it out there, and they had, gosh, they had almost 7,000 for the 3-game series against Nebraska. And the Huskers brought a lot of people, too, mm-hmm. being close. And they had a young man, Cale Frost, who played at Don Bosco, who's on the Nebraska team. He hit a home run, by the way, over the weekend. So that was nice to see him do well. And Hawks won 2 out of 3 and still on the top of the Big Ten. Schedule, we'll see. It's Oregon, UCLA, and USC. They get Oregon the last Big Ten series of the year, correct?
Correct.
Don't have to play UCLA or USC, though.
Correct.
Which is a help.
Do have to go to Washington, I think. Of course, at Michigan this week won't be easy.
No, it won't be. 319-366-1600. Yes, Cyclone Tim, take note of a lot of sports venues about the concession prices at Augusta National. don't think we're going to see that. Yes, Ann said Saturday's crowd was the biggest in Heller Ball history. And it was a heck of a crowd Friday night, and just jam-packed and down the lines they were standing on Saturday afternoon. Ben McCollum, a
He's
couple other coaches were there.
He's
yeah,
got an arm.
Threw a strike, dotted the corner at almost 70 miles per hour without any warm-up.
He's warming up. I saw him warm up.
Was he warming up? Yeah. Okay. See, I had to do that for the Colonels a couple times. I never got to warm up. I was just hoping I didn't throw my arm out. 319-366-1600. We'll come back and have more for you in a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Stick with us. More to come right after this here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. We'll have partly to mostly cloudy skies for the remainder of the day today. Temperatures will be around 60 degrees, and it will be quite windy, making it feel even colder. As we head through the late afternoon, there's a chance for a few spotty light showers. They'll be pretty hit or miss. Then we'll have the rain winding down overnight, the clouds sticking around for a bit, but clearing by Tuesday morning. Temperatures drop into the upper 30s. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the mid to upper 50s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
You've been hacked. Your thoughts race. What did they get? What do they want? What does this mean for my customers? My business? Stop. Call NCS. They will have a local engineer on site at your business within 24 hours to help. If you get hacked, call NCS at 319-247-7223. Save it to your contacts, 319-247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood quick star, and stop on by now that the weather is turning nice here as we get into the midpoint of the month of April, because you're ready to sweeten your game with Quick Star's Nature's Touch ice cream. They've got a terrific lineup with great flavors like chocolate, vanilla, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip, and a whole lot more. So stop on by, get your hands on Nature's Touch ice cream today only at Quick Star. And it is on sale right now. Chocolate or vanilla Nature's Touch ice cream in the 1 gallon bucket. You can reuse that bucket, give it to the kids. They can put some stuff in it, go out to the sandbox and play. And that is $4.99 for a limit of two. Nature's Touch milk, 1 gallon, skim 1% or 2%, $2.99, limit three. And the Quickery breakfast sausage links, 12 ounce package, $2.49, limit two. All that and a whole lot more available right now at your neighborhood Quick Star.
We've said it for years. We're going to give you our best price or most competitive price up front, and now Ford's brought that to the table.
Just makes you feel good.
Patrick Eads and Terry Adams with Deary Ford.
It's a true Ford employee pricing plan.
As if you work for Ford or you're a retiree from Ford.
You could walk in and buy a new Ford for less money than I could purchase one for.
I have never seen Ford do a sale like this.
The From America for America event through June 2nd.
Shop Deary Ford, Iowa City.
When we say here for you, we mean it.
It's a great deal.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long. Proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
3:36, back with you here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. 319-366-1600. Rory is not playing in the Heritage this week. Okay. That does not surprise me, Mark. Usually when players win a major, they take the next week off. It's not very often. Scotty didn't last year. I understand that. But this is a different situation, too, with that being a signature event. Now, you can miss one signature event. So this is the one that Rory has now chosen to sit out.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. 319-366-1600. Thank you for that note. Appreciate that. 1900. Right after we left the air, the quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers, I just like to call him Nico because I butcher his last name all the time.
I'm Aleva,
yes, who had his first start against Iowa in the bowl game down in Orlando a couple years ago when he came in for another quarterback who decided to leave early. At any rate, he made news by sitting out of Tennessee football spring practice. Didn't attend practice. Did not attend team meetings because there was a standoff. He's, at least in his eyes, a standoff with his compensation for name, image, and likeness. So what did Josh Heupel do the next day, the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers? He said, Nico, thank you very much for your service, and we wish you well as you depart Rocky Top and left the Tennessee football program, which has started a lot of conversation in college football talk on both sides of the equation, to be quite honest with you. Did Josh Heupel do the right thing? The college coaching regime believes that is the case. Other people are saying, well, you know what? This may be the start of what we need as far as college athletics, not only college football, but college athletics in general, to start to get some sort of rules and regulations involved. And wanted to get your reactions out there at 319-366-1600. What side of the fence you sit on? Is this a good thing? Are you for, I guess, Josh Heupel and the coaching side of things? And there were several coaches that came out in support of Heupel after this decision. I think it's a great decision. That's my thought about it. As Josh Heupel said, nobody is bigger than the program. Nobody is bigger than the Power T in Knoxville, Tennessee. And that's where they made their stand.
Absolutely, Heupel made the right decision. You can't let the inmates run the asylum as much as it seems like it's doing so right now. The athletes running college football. Listen, I don't necessarily want to see Iamaleva blackballed.
He's not going to be.
Football. UCLA may be a suitor. Tulane, there's going to be somebody comes along that's going to give him money. And the first thing you do is go to his dad and say, shut up. I don't want to hear from you. Stay in the stands. Stay down the right field line and don't say a word. But there's agents involved. There's fathers involved. There's Iamaleva involved. And you can... It underscores the importance of having, if there isn't contracts involved with pay-for-play right now, it's not NIL, it's pay-for-play. If there isn't contracts involved right now, they must be in place and they must be specific. There's players say, oh, I signed I had an agreement, played 12 regular season games. If you want me to play in a bowl game, need a little bit more. Heck with that.
I agree.
I mean, we've reached the tipping point, I think. And until somebody steps up, some organization, some individual steps up, why isn't anybody stepping up and say, listen, this is all wrong. We need to get it under control. It's not all wrong. I shouldn't say that. But there needs to be something done, and nobody's doing anything about it.
A lot of
and please don't tell, well, the coach leaves. You know, what about that? It's not comparable.
It's apples and oranges. It's an apples and oranges situation. Yeah, they're going to go to a different job. Yes, they're going to get more money. But they're not stopping in the middle of their spring practices or in the middle of the season and saying, I'm not going to coach Saturday unless you give me a couple hundred $1,000 more. 319-366-1600. Isaac, what do you think? Your thoughts about this situation?
I've long said that there just needs to be, drop the idea of amateurism, just have straight up contracts with schools. Like, they just need, like, they're signed. My idea would be you're initially signed for 3 years with the school, and then after that you become a free agent. Because right now the 1 year rental every single offseason is not a sustainable model in my mind. And so the only way to limit that is, one, allow collective bargaining, allow unions to take present so you can actually have representatives that can agree on all these contract details, minimums, stuff like that. And then you go into the actual what the contracts would be with high school recruits and stuff like that. So I think that's the only way. I don't know. It's unsustainable right now as far as every year you have to have a completely new roster, or you have to re-recruit every single player on your team. So the only way in my mind to kind of stop that is have just direct contracts with schools. I don't know any other way around it right now.
And one thing I don't understand too is, however these athletes are getting money and whoever's giving them the money, what you make an investment and you expect a return on your investment. What do you expect from paying an athlete $2 million a year? He didn't win a national title. Look at his statistics. They're not glossy statistics. He made Iowa look silly in the bowl game. I understand that. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of talent, but whether he's worth $200,000 or $2 million a year, if you're investing in this guy, what do you expect in return? you expect him to walk like he did?
A lot of different varying opinions on the text line. We do appreciate that. Matt, thanks for listening here today. Says, I think Nico is going to be the start of Enough is Enough. NIL needs to be more of a contract at each school. You have to stay at that school for 3 years and will make so much during that time, and your senior season can be in the transfer portal or the draft. I love to see that. That ain't happening.
Unless the coach leaves.
Unless the coach leaves.
Because players sign with coaches now. They don't sign with the school.
It says, goes on to say, but what team is going to want to take Nico when he has shown he has no respect for his teammates or coaches? Well, there's a long list. As you mentioned, UCLA and USC, Tulane. A lot of people are after Nico today. Just make NIL in terms of contracts, and if players want to leave, there's a buyout just like professional athletes and coaches. Says 5308. It's a horrible thing, says Ryan, for college football. I'm sure Nico is not making this decision on his own. There needs to be a salary cap, or we're going to see the same teams year in and year out in the playoffs. Yeah, you're right. We've said that from the very start, Mark. This gap is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, on the other side, 0818 says, don't coaches get bonuses for making bowl games? Why not the players? Well, they're getting a little bit of college basketball now. Nebraska won the champion's crown.
Mm-hmm.
They all got bonuses for playing in that tournament, despite being, what, 14th place team in the Big Ten, right down there.
I also think not all of this is coming directly from the players. Like, I think there's a lot of blame going towards Nico, and this is, or just in general, when players do stuff like this, like want sign new deals and ask for more money, stuff like that. A lot of it is maybe some bad advice from families, bad advice from agents, especially agents, is I'm really worried that there are some agents out there that are really taking advantage of some 18 and 19-year-old kids who have no idea and are just trying to figure out how to be an adult. And they're telling them, no, you got to push for more, so the agent can take a little bit more home for the new deals they sign. So that's another concern of mine. Again, not that they are without blame. They are still adults, still above the age of 18, but I do think a lot of instances they're getting some bad advice from outside sources.
Is anybody interested in seeing transcripts from players that play at four different schools? Or maybe I'm being silly. I don't know.
I think you're being silly because I have said, I've gone on record saying I think there's going to be somebody in the next few years, if this keeps going in the direction it is right now, that's going to say, yeah, I don't even need to go to class really. I think it's coming. A lot of people saying their interest in college football is waning due to this. That, along with ticket prices that are going to be going up, already are going up, going to be going up even more, especially after the settlement in the House, which is going to happen sometime this summer, you're going to be paying a lot more to see college football, to see college basketball, to see college wrestling, to see college whatever. Can we even call it college sports anymore? It's sort of college sports, but on a professional level. Max Crosby today, double X for the Las Vegas Raiders, becoming the assistant general manager for Eastern Michigan University. He's the third current player. Steph Curry is also doing it for Davidson on their basketball side of things. And you're going to see that. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have your name associated with a university like that when you're somebody as good as Steph Curry or Max Crosby. I don't know. When is this all going to be reined in a little bit? That's the question. And I don't think it's going to be reined in anytime soon. And when it is reined in, Mark, and we've said it before, enter the lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Here they come.
Be interesting to see if he does land anywhere, and I think he will, and how much money he reportedly will get and how long he'll be at that school.
True. Very true. And I think you're also going to see a lot more kids reclassify now. You're already starting to see it a little bit more and more. More in basketball than in football, but we have seen some reclassifications. Ohio State's terrific wide receiver. Now, he's good enough to play. He's good enough to play in the NFL right now and big enough to play in the NFL. But you're going to see more and more reclassification because the money is out there right now. And who knows what the future is going to be like. So they're going to go out and try to get a piece of the pie. And as you said, it's pay for play now. This is not so much a name, image, and likeness situation. I mean, you're going to see names on the back of jerseys, basketball jerseys and football jerseys and what have you. But, you know, Nico's not down at the car dealership three times a month shaking people's hands for his how many millions of dollars he's getting.
Yeah, I don't even know the guy. I don't know Ayam Alava. I never met him. I never, seen a whole lot of interviews with him. Could be a great guy, but the whole image of, speaking of name, image, and likeness, this whole image of what he's doing just doesn't sit well with a lot of people. And from what I've seen, I think people in Tennessee are behind Josh Heupel and what he's doing. Because one guy isn't bigger than the team. If he was, Tennessee would have won the national title last year.
Then he might have a bigger leg to stand on.
Yeah.
The former quarterback of the Tennessee Volunteers at this particular time. And, yeah, he's going to land on his feet somewhere, and he'll be the starting quarterback this fall for some football team out there. And it might be in the Big Ten. Could be somebody that Iowa is playing, if it indeed is USC or UCLA, which are two teams or two schools. Do we even say schools anymore? Mm-hmm. They're just two programs. They are two programs that are involved in the negotiations right now for Nico. Thank you for all the great responses. Thank you for all those. Good stuff. 319-366-1600. Coming up on 352. We'll take a break. Come back, wrap things up here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Progressive knows when you're on your boat, you're already on vacation. And vacation you forgets all your worries. Vacation you doesn't even keep track of time and knows that time is a meaningless construct designed to control us, man. But regular you knows you don't want to be too far out in the water after the sun goes down because vacation you doesn't know how to navigate in the dark yet. Vacation you and regular you really need to get on the same page. So bundle your boat with your home or auto policy and earn an automatic discount from Progressive. And spend the savings on the both of you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Empower. Tim collects bobbleheads. A lot of bobbleheads. Baseball bobbleheads. Race car bobbleheads. Little Chihuahua bobbleheads. He's got an entire room strictly for bobbleheads. Does he need them? No. Is his wife mad about it? A little. But Tim works with Empower, and he got good at money. So he can be a little bad. Ooh, horse bobblehead. Classy, Tim. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at empower.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Back with you to wrap things up here on the Gym Class, a Monday edition here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. As Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Cubs tonight against the Padres. We'll have that game for you coming up this evening as well. And, baseball getting underway. I mentioned Iowa baseball taking 2 out of 3 from Nebraska over the weekend. Colonels are underway. We got hockey. We're efforting our friend Jeff Johnson this week and have him on to talk about the Rough Riders and the Heartlanders getting into the playoffs. You've got Colonel Baseball underway, Iowa Baseball at the top of the Big Ten. So there's still a lot going on in the sports world around us.
Drake Relays coming up.
Relays. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you missed our talk with Blake Bolden, was that last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and listen to that or any of our local shows. They're available in the podcast form at kgymradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. And, yeah, baseball is underway, Mark, as we mentioned. And for you and I, so far, our teams are not so good.
Not very encouraging, no. But it is, in the case of the Twins, 16 games out of a whole season, small sample size, but a lot of teams are finding some good vibes right now. The Cubs is certainly at 11-7, I think it is, leading the Central Division, a not very good Central Division, but nevertheless, if it isn't very good, you want to win it. Milwaukee's going to be there, I think. But losing Justin Steele won't help, but maybe there's some arms the Cubs will extract, maybe acquire, and patch things up. But right now, I mean, winning series against the Dodgers and Padres is no small task.
National League West right now, Padres 13-3, Giants 11-4, Dodgers third place right now at 11-6. There is no panic, though.
No.
Yeah, our friend John Bonacamp is not selling his stock in the L.A. Dodgers right now. How about Toronto? Early on, yes. Half a game lead over the Yankees in the American League East. Detroit has suddenly got warm. My pick to win the NL Central, by the way. The Tigers at 9-6. And the L.A. Angels starting to come down back to earth a little bit after their big start. But they're still ahead in the American League West. They're at 9-6 at this particular time. Nobody really running away with anything, but which is pretty much typical for April.
How fast did the torpedo bat discussion go away? You don't hear anything about it. I figured there'd be an X feed, a torpedo bat tracker, you know, site or something like. Maybe there is, and I haven't noticed it, but you don't hear anything about that anymore.
Poor Colorado Rockies.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
They're bad, but they're 3-12 right now. They're already 9.5 games back on April the 14th. Listen, Rocky fans, and I know we have a couple around here, I sympathize with you because that was the White Sox plight last year. They're only 5 out, so I'm feeling fairly decent about that, but you're already 3-12, 9.5 games out, and most of your schedule consists of the Padres, the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks.
Not good.
That is a good luck to you out there. Tempting to talk some fantasy baseball this week, speaking of baseball, and then also John Cooper's going to join us on Thursday to talk about the NFL draft from our lad scouting service. So looking forward to having John with us a week from Thursday, the draft at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The first round on Thursday, second and third rounds on Friday, right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. All right, Mark, have a very good night, and we will talk tomorrow.
Sounds like a plan. Talk to you then.
All right, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Thanks for listening in to Gym Class. We are back with you tomorrow starting at 3.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many